Hi everyone, it's Joe here from Lawn Solutions Australia and welcome to this episode of Turf Talk, where we're live, kind of live, at the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show, and I'm joined by a good friend and colleague and LSA ambassador, Jason Hodges.
Hey Joe, hi everyone.
What we're going to talk about today is obviously we're live at, I think it's the biggest garden show in the Southern Hemisphere.
It's probably the second or third biggest in the world. So it goes Chelsea Flower Show, Hampton Court, and then here, that's strictly on numbers. But I think it's probably the most contemporary one, because the two of them, and I got to be able to go in at Chelsea Flower Show, there's a formula to try and win a gold medal.
Right. So the idea of building a show garden, Melbourne Flower and Garden Show, is to win gold or to win best in show and get a ticket to Chelsea? Is that the idea behind it?
That's the goal. So I won 5 golds when I got invited to go to the Chelsea Flower Show.
Right.
And only 9 Australians have done it. So Charlie's one of them, I'm one of them.
Yep.
And then the other 7 are pretty amazing people, amazing garden designers. So to be in that bracket is a real privilege.
And how long have you been coming in now for?
I've been coming for about 24 years. Yeah. And I did my first show garden sponsored by Lawn Solutions, which was Sir Walter back in the day, about 19 years ago. And we won, the first year I won a silver, and then I won 5 golds in a row.
Yeah,
I've been doing something here every year.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey, and this year you're building the Welcome Garden. We'll get some shots of it later, and we'll put it in the video. But tell us about the thought behind this. What's the idea behind the design of this Welcome Garden?
Well, Welcome Garden, and I don't look too far away from what that word is. I just wanted to make a welcoming space.
Yeah.
So I wanted to build a space that could be used by all the different sort of scenarios. So me on my own, come out here, I'm on the phone a fair bit, you're on the phone a fair bit. I see you walk out into the loading zone at work.
Yeah.
This is a little bit better than the loading zone.
Uh-oh. It's up for debate, slightly.
So, I mean, Bob would be standing over there listening to your conversation. But like, you can come out here, you can have your phone call, and you're uber relaxed. Like, this is pretty awesome. Yeah. Or you can come out here with your partner at the end of the night, after a hard day's work, and catch up and talk about the day.
Yeah.
You watch your kids play on the lawn, so then the family's involved. Or... And I'll give you the footage to put it up on the podcast. Like last night, we had a string quartet here.
Yeah.
And there was 100 people here.
Yeah.
So, like, you could have the whole shindig. Like, if it was my place, I'd just make the lawn bigger, push the gardens back, beds back.
Yeah.
And I've got the same garden on a bigger scale.
Yeah. So you can give people an idea and they can whatever they want to do. Yeah.
You could do this in a courtyard in inner city Melbourne and Sydney.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it becomes this wide because it's a townhouse. Or quarter acre and you just push everything out, you still have the same sort of structures and sculptures and the lawn just becomes bigger.
Yeah, and then I guess the unique thing about building something so impressive is this, like some of the show gardens we see, this one included, they're incredible, what people do, what they design. Some of them might be up for, you're looking at me funny there. But there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes because you only get a certain amount of window to build these and they're obviously not permanent, so they've got to be taken down. So give us a little bit of a behind the scenes look at building one of these gardens and what's involved.
All right, so the Royal Exhibition Building and the Carlton Gardens are heritage listed, World Heritage listed. So there's not too many World Heritage listed properties in Australia. So we can leave no footprint. It's the classic take photos, leave footprints kind of thing. So we can't even put a star picket in the ground. We can't put a piece of Rio in the ground to set up a string line. So no damage can be done to the ground. And then we need to think about compaction of the soil to look after these trees that are 140 years old.
Yeah.
So this is all sitting on pads of timber, like ply, with posts underneath it. Then there's yellow tongue floors underneath all of the surfaces. So that lawn is the slab of turf that you would buy from Lilydale, just straight onto yellow tongue. Like it's the world's worst practice as far as horticulture goes.
Yeah.
But if I keep the moisture up to it, you could grow grass on the Pacific Highway.
Yeah.
If you don't walk on it too much and you water it every day. So it'll survive the 5 days of the show. So yellow tongue flooring under here, all the garden beds are just filled with mulch. The plants are still in their pots. The trick is to hide the pot so you can't see it.
Yeah.
The good thing about it is everything is recycled. So all the plants in this garden are sold.
Yep.
All the turf's going to places like kindergartens, daycare centres, primary schools, all not charity, but community-based places.
Yeah.
They join a list during the year and then they know that they're going to get turf. And you'll see dads coming in here with trailers on Monday and Tuesday afternoon, getting 50 metres of turf for a kindergarten that probably would never get turf if it didn't get it for free.
Yeah.
So that's all the grass is recycled, all the mulch, all the timber. So this frame here is just cheap pine from Bunnings.
Yeah.
It all gets mulched up and turned into compost. So the mulch goes to compost the next layer down.
Yeah.
the best of blocks and the blocks, they'll all be reused and put into a wall where they're rendered so that they're still used. There's next to no waste.
The idea is not to put anything in the skip bin if you can.
I remember the first few years I was here, I drove away, I'd filled 3 8-metre skip bins and it all went away, and that was unsustainable. And if you want to talk about building sustainable gardens that are only here for 7 days, the process after the fact has to be sustainable.
And what's that process after the fact look like? Because there's a lot of gardens here.
Devastating. Sunday night by about 7 o'clock, this place looks like a bomb has gone off. You literally walk in, you pull down the side walls of your garden, mulch falls out, you start ripping plants out and putting them on trolleys, and it's devastating.
Because it's not like you can bring a bobcat in here.
No
or
bobcats,
excavator,
no excavators, no dingoes, nothing like that. It's just fit young landscapers and apprentices. And the place will be back to normal by probably Tuesday afternoon. And you wouldn't know we were here.
You wouldn't know we were here. No. It's wild, isn't it? And just from, I've been coming here for 10, 12 years now myself, and to see the transition of the gardens has been has been really cool over the last few years. And one thing I noticed when we first came here, out of the 20 gardens, there was only one or two with turf, with natural turf. There's a lot of fake grass. There's a lot of gravel. Now there's, out of the 15 or 16 gardens here, I think all of them have some form of lawn.
So the first year I came, I was the only one with a lawn in it.
Yeah.
And there was heaps of reasons why the other ones didn't, but I think there was more reasons why I did. And it wasn't just commercial me, like, oh, I work with you guys, so I'm going to put a lawn in.
Yeah.
It is the thing that reminds me of my childhood the most. So it makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I know it sounds gimmicky, but like Brad Fittler, he gets the players to take their shoes off and earth.
Earthing.
But I don't call it earthing, but there's nothing better than walking around on your lawn barefoot.
Yeah.
Tackling the kids or lying on it or, you know, I love it. So it's a cheap surface. You know, like per square meter, there's nothing cheaper than a lawn.
Yeah.
But it's now, because our blocks are getting smaller, a lawn is grandeur.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I love the idea of 40 years ago, if you built a swimming pool and you bought lawn right up to the edge, oh, they could just afford the pool. They couldn't landscape it.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a pool with grass coming up to the edge, because every square meter is such a privilege, you go, wow, that's class.
Yeah.
So again, you can build a bigger garden on a tighter budget just by pushing the garden beds out and doing more of this. This is only 100 square meters.
Yeah.
I could have got a bigger impact for 200 square meters if I just pushed those garden beds out and made a bigger lawn.
Made a bigger lawn.
And it's only a fraction more effort and a fraction more money to double the size of that garden.
Yeah. So it's only 100 square meters.
It's 10 by 10. Yeah.
10 by 10. It shows really what you can do in a small space. And like, that doesn't feel small, that bit of grass, or even though it's only what?
It's 5 by 5.
It's 5 by 5. Yeah. It still feels like it's got something about it. You can still use it.
And if I, like, hello, ladies. How you going? Thank you. If I deleted these hydrangeas here and the path being like this with grass in it, it would have looked easily twice as big.
Yeah, right.
But I was doing design elements where I wanted to draw your eye up there to the sculpture.
Yeah.
And you got to agree, the hydrangeas are a massive impact.
Yeah.
So for practicality at home, and you had Hutch and all your kids, that'd be deleted. The path would become part of the lawn and you've doubled the size of it. But for aesthetics, I put that in.
Yeah, right. Oh, it looks great. And you've done, you always do great things with turf, different things with turf. You've seen over the years, if people that have ever looked at the gardens that you've built at Mifkis, there's always something different that you've used turf for. Now, this, talk us through the breeze blocks.
Well, you know, my old man's a bricklayer, so I grew up fascinated by brickwork, and breeze blocks were very cool in like the late 60s, early 70s in sort of contemporary modern Australian homes. Usually had flat roofs and, you know, they'd be weatherboard clad with big open windows. It was very different to, say, bungalows and Federation homes that we had before that. Mm. And breeze blocks would create privacy and screens, but still let the breeze through. So sort of one of those design elements, and we really embraced it in Australia. It was sort of like California and Australia, where you would never see breeze blocks used commonly in Europe or anything, because they wanted to block that breeze.
Yeah.
So they were really trendy. And then those houses dated, those walls probably got tapped by a car, they started to look messy, they fell off the face of the earth, and they weren't used until they've just come back into fashion.
Yeah.
And so rather than do it as a screen or a wall, I've laid them on the ground, I've inlaid them with Tiff Tuff. Tiff Tuff is a beautiful grass because it's such a fine leaf to shape and cut with a pair of scissors,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
And this would only get better with time.
Yeah.
So these have only been there for a week. It was pretty fastidious.
So this isn't just a look for the show. This is a genuine option people can do.
100%. Yeah, yeah. You could drive over these.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, if you've got a hard, soft landscape issue, if you're building a big house on a small block of land,
yeah,
well, this is an alternative to a concrete or bitumen or paved driveway, right, because it's a soft, the water goes through, it's permeable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a genuine option for a practical reason. And for an aesthetic reason, it looks amazing. So I would imagine it requires a little bit more water purely because the concrete is masonry and it's going to absorb moisture.
Yep.
But that would easily, especially with Tiptuff being so drought tolerant, it's a great option.
Mm.
But I'm saying, like, you know, you might water it once a week more often than you'd water your typical lawn.
Yeah, and for people that can't actually see, they're breeze blocks with little bits of Tiptuff hand cut and placed.
So if I was doing it at home, I would just get a piece of PVC pipe about 75 mil.
Yeah.
You angle grind one end so it's sharp.
Yeah.
And then with a hammer and a piece of timber,
yeah,
you just hit the PVC and you cut little circles.
Yeah.
And then I'd
let it grow in and
I'd put a little circle in each one and it'd take next to no time at all.
Yeah.
And I reckon within about 6 to 8 weeks it'd look Mickey
Mouse.
It'd
be good. So we've done this with Tiptuff. A few of the other gardens we're seeing grass on roofs now, we're seeing grass all over the place. So people are using Segrain Zoysia and not mow it for a different effect now. So can you explain how to sort of use it around a few of these gardens?
All right, so I reckon I was the first one to use it. So Segrain gets to about 120, 150 mil. I wasn't the first one to use it. You guys do it at the test lab in Barrie. But like on a golf course, that's where it would be perfect because your labour costs just drop dramatically.
Yeah.
But for a homeowner, anywhere you don't want to mow or anywhere where you used to plant Mondo grass. So you go to nursery Bunnings, buy a 6-inch Mondo grass for about $10, and you can buy a slab of Segrain for $20. Like it's awesome.
Yeah.
And the look that you get and the amount of maintenance that you have to do for that look is amazing.
It's funny walking around here, it's probably the most commonly used grass at Mithcus now. It wouldn't be turning around. Like it always just used to be buffalo everywhere, then a little bit of Tiptuff came in, a bit of fescue back in the day, but now it's probably Zoysia.
What's funny is, so Victoria's been slow on the uptake of Segrain, and yet every designer here has probably put Segrain into their garden.
Yeah.
So I've put it on both sides of my garden and across the front. But yeah, it looks like they're old ryegrasses and fescues.
Yeah, I think that's why it appeals to them.
And they're still in love with that cool climate grass, which unfortunately, you know, it's too hard and expensive to keep looking good. And this is an amazing alternative. I still love this because I grew up with that in the backyard.
But you've got different grasses on the one side here, and people can do this at home. They can put the 100%. Buffalo in where 100%. They, you know, where they use it.
I've drawn lots of gardens now where Segrain and Tiptuff are simply divided by a 6 mil steel bar.
Yeah.
You know, because I want the Segrain to be at this height, and I want the Tiptuff to be the bowling green. You know, you can get that sort of contrast that you see in golf courses where the rough might be 3 or 4 times the size.
Yeah.
No difference, no harder to do, but you get a look. And most people don't realise you can get looks with lawns.
Because that's why I guess the transition's been into lawns for the Flowering Garden Show, because previously you couldn't do what you can do with grass now and have the effect that you have. And I think that's pretty obvious to look at walking around here.
Victoria had a 10-year drought. They all changed their lawns to synthetic or crushed granite. Weeds didn't even grow down here.
Yeah.
And so I understand why they turned their back on gardening as such. But then the lawns came back in such a big way and they had to be re-educated in Victoria because they were cool climate grass varieties.
Yep.
And then, oh, Sir Walter's doesn't work here. It obviously does, everyone's using it. And then, oh, Tiptuff doesn't work here, Segrain doesn't work here. It's just a lag. New South Wales and Queensland, Tiptuff's going like this and it'll come here, it's just a little lag.
Yeah. So I guess sort of finishing off here now, what's your plan for the future for Mithcus? Do you still see it as a pretty important thing for you as a garden designer do? Or?
I do for selfish reasons. My selfish reason would be, all right, I did 20 years of television. I was quite successful at it. And I went through and showed people that I knew what I was talking about by coming here and applying myself. And I still do garden design now. So, you know, this being on your podcast is going to help me as much as it's going to help Lawn Solutions.
Yeah.
You know, it shows people that I'm in the industry, I know what I'm talking about, I'm not just a talking head. You know, if I get a garden design out of it, I'm winning. Yeah. So yeah, and I enjoy it. So yeah, enjoyment,
that's amazing.
You know, doing what you love is the most important thing.
And for people that have never been here before, I speak from experience. Like, I'm not a, I know a few plants. We've gone for that. That's a hydrangea.
What's the pink flower?
Crepe myrtle.
And what are the little round ones over there?
They're Buxus balls. There's so much to actually see and do. Even if you're not an avid gardener, there's so many things to come and see here. So people should come check it out.
There's two places that everyone should go and see, and they're not what they expect. The Tamworth Country Music Festival is not all about country and Western music. It's just a really good time. Yeah. And the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show is not just about roses and tulips and carnations. Anyone who is remotely interested in any kind of design, architecture, you know, innovation, and then you go inside and you see what these amazing, talented artists, florists have done.
Yeah.
It will blow your mind. It's worth it.
Let's talk about the RAB for a second and what actually goes on in there. So outside in the gardens is the show gardens, is the pop-up tents, is people actually selling stuff and showcasing new products. But there's a whole other world in the RAB. What goes on in there?
So there's probably, I said yesterday, there's over 500,000 flowers in there. Australia's florists are literally the most innovative in the world. Because you go to Europe and it's all, and I'm going to exaggerate, it's all roses and tulips and carnations.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a formula that they haven't changed for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. Australians will find a twig on the side of the road and turn it into a sculpture, or lichen or cotton bush. You know, like we use all, and we've got the most amazing, interesting natural resources here in Australia, all our unusual flowers and plants.
Yeah.
20 years ago, we didn't want to know about it. You know, grevillea or bottle brush or gum flowers or gum nuts.
Mm.
You know, they were just ugly, gnarly plants.
Yeah.
But ugly, gnarly, put together in the right way by a talented person is unique and innovative now.
And it's not just the work. People don't just put in weeks of work into the gardens here. I saw an interactive dinosaur display in there. That must have taken them 3 weeks to set up.
They're very talented. And I think that the landscape side of thing gets more publicity because this is big and lots of people work on it.
Yeah.
But they are so talented
it's
in
great.
There. And it is, you walk in there and just for starters, it's the best smelling room in the world.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what you're into, you'll find something worth seeing and something that you like.
100%.
Clearing garden show.
100%.
What we're doing here is Lawn Solutions has actually got a show garden up here. Oh, not a show garden, a display where we build a garden and incorporate turf into that garden that people can come and look, touch and feel. So if you ever are at the show, you can come check out the Lawn Solutions garden and talk turf.
But Lawn Solutions have been here for 15 years and I've been represented here for the 20 years I've been here. Mm. And I think they do a great thing. It's not a hard sell, it's just information, sending you in the right direction, helping you with your problems. There's usually half a dozen turf growers on the stand for the 5 days and we just enjoy meeting the people that love their lawns.
Yep.
What's this tree here? Do you know this one?
That's a small miniature gum tree that hasn't blossomed yet.
Go through the turf rows. You know what this one is here in the front of you?
Yeah, Swalded NA certified.
This one here?
Tip Top Hybrid Bermuda.
What's on the side? It's
a Grain Georgia.
You might have a future in the industry, I'm not sure.
No, it's great. Aloe vera.
Agave,
close. Anyway, thanks for that, Jason.
Make a tequila out of it.
Yeah, you do. We'll learn more about that.
Thanks, mate.
Appreciate your time.